You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The minimum wage has been increased by $1.10 to $20 an hour. Benefits are also up by 3% starting today, and a new tax rate has also come into force, with those earning more than $180,000 a year will pay more income tax this year. Alan McDonald, the head of advocacy and strategy from the Employers and Manufacturers Association, told me earlier this morning that businesses are not against increasing the minimum wage, but they have an issue on timing and its scale. Here's Alan McDonald.
Well, we've been expecting it for a while. It's the third in a series of fairly significant increases over the last three or so years. It's gone up by about 27% in that time, which is quite far and quite fast. And that obviously has some implications for employers who do pay the minimum wage. But you know, our focus really would be on measures to improve productivity so that we can increase wages with productivity.
Why do you think the timing and scale of this increase is off?
Well, we said last year when it went up $1.20 right in the middle of the pandemic that it wasn't great timing. And as you go through the past year or so, obviously more and more businesses are doing it very hard, and a lot of them are sort of right on the edge at the moment. And it will cause significant hardship for some of those businesses that do pay the minimum wage. And it's not just the minimum wage increase that causes the issue. So what happens in there is, say if there's a person on $24 an hour and the person's on $19 currently on the minimum wage or thereabouts, when that minimum wage goes up a dollar, the other people in that particular workplace want to maintain their relativity to the minimum wage worker. So you end up with a bit of a ripple effect going through the workforce. And for many employers at the moment, it's just all getting a bit hard.
Right. And you said earlier the association suggested to the government to instead focusing on increasing productivity rather than the minimum wage. How can the government do that?
Well, so things that you can do there, you're looking at workplace training for your staff to increase their skills and therefore increase their productivity. It's things like making it easier for businesses to access things like R&D funding so that they can develop new processes. It's things like the write-off of spend, so the depreciation, doing that quicker to a larger scale. So that encourages employers to invest in new technology, new software, and invest in their people, those sorts of things. That helps increase productivity, and as productivity goes up and we work smarter, then there's obviously more money available and more to pay more people.
In these times, workers are facing hardships as well. Shouldn't they receive a justifiable wage as well?
Oh, I'm not arguing with the justifiable wage increase. It's the scale and the speed of things that are happening at the moment, because it's not just the minimum wage. There's a whole other raft of legislation sitting behind this that's put more costs on businesses as you go through. So last month, for example, there was another 4 weeks in the paid parental leave scheme. No issue with that, but it's the timing. We're looking at a Matariki public holiday next year coming in at a cost of $400 million to employers. Again, no issue with Matariki as a holiday. I think it's a great idea. It's a uniquely New Zealand thing. But it's coming at a time with additional costs for an additional holiday that we possibly don't need to have a 12th public holiday. We could substitute it for something else. An additional 5 days sick leave, another cost on employers. We had 2 weeks domestic violence leave brought in last year. Again, another cost on employers. And they're all coming in quick succession. You've got fair pay agreements coming up. You've got increased access to pay equity schemes. You've got immigration setting new minimum wage thresholds for skilled workers as they come in, which again push up the threshold for employers here to pay their staff. All of those things coming in quick succession. So it's the timing that's the issue as much as anything. And yes, you know, employees need to earn good wages, and if we increase productivity, that leads to good wages.
Okay, so you said there's some problems with the scale of speed of rolling things out. Like, how do you want to see things phased in at the ideally?
Well, earlier this week we put out a release to say, look, could you just take a bit of a breather on things? Because all of those things that I mentioned to you are coming in within the next sort of 6 to 12 months. And that's a lot of significant cost for for many, particularly at the small to medium end of the business scale, and that's what we are. We're a small business economy. So, you know, for employers who are already under pressure because of the circumstances and that we've been through in the last year or so, and, you know, there's nothing to say we might not have more lockdowns in the near future. I mean, they're going through one in Australia at the moment and another one in France today. So that sort of uncertainty on the horizon, with a raft of additional costs on the horizon and the near horizon, I might add, it's creating an environment where businesses are who are already under pressure are feeling even more pressure. And, you know, if those businesses go under, those jobs aren't there and those wages aren't there either.
That was Alan McDonald from the Employers and Manufacturers Association. Just a text just came in regarding to my chat with him. When have corporations or businesses making huge profits ever paid more than the bare minimum wage? And another text just came in saying, fascinating that employers see their staff as a cost rather than an asset. And on this, I also spoke to Bruce Stanley Powell of advocacy group Auckland Action Against Poverty, who told me that the minimum wage and benefits increases today are not enough and the government should introduce a living wage. So what do you think? Now, the minimum wage today has been increased to $20 an hour today, officially. What do you make of this?
I think it's good, but I think it's not a living wage. I think the minimum wage in this country should be at the living wage, because it means that people who are in who have jobs are also struggling in this country.
Right. But how much the living wage should be?
So I think the living wage in Tamaki is $23 an hour.
Right.
But it depends where you live in Aotearoa. So it'll be calculated specific to your area. I mean, living wage, the minimum wage be enough for people to do what they love after all their essential bills have been paid? I mean, that's what we're campaigning for as an organisation with livable incomes. So we want benefits to be at that level as well. We just want to make sure that everybody has what they need to make the best decisions for themselves and their families in this country. We want the government to prioritise and centre people, really, over profit.
Right, and there are also other forms of benefits that are going to be increased today. Do you think that it's adequate enough to help the poor families in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
No, not at all. I think the increase in benefits that are occurring today, I'm not sure, it's less than $10. And so I don't know what people think the cost of living is in this country, but it's extremely high for people on benefits. I mean, benefit levels are already set below the poverty line. So we know that anybody receiving a benefit in this country is living in poverty. There's no excuse, really, for why poverty should exist here. Everybody has enough to go around. Our Reserve Bank has the time and resources to print money for their own priorities. And we're saying, aren't people the priority in this country? And we really should be looking to ensure that everybody is taken care of.
Right. And some business associations that we spoke to say they are not opposed to increasing the minimum wage, but they just think the timing and scale of it is not correct because it puts small businesses under pressure. What do you think of this?
I think that, I mean, if that's what they're saying, then I think the government can figure out a way in which to work with small businesses to ensure that they thrive and people get enough money to thrive. I mean, is it that hard to sit down with people and look at redesigning ways that work for everyone?
Right. And what do you expect the government's next plan to be when it comes to benefits, minimum wage, or even poverty?
To be honest, I'm not. I would hope that they would look to introduce livable income so that they can eliminate poverty in this country. But they're setting targets and working to the targets that they set. And I think therein is part of the problem, is that not only that, successive governments, actually, both Labor and National, haven't done much in the welfare space. And so Labor introducing these incremental changes seems like a lot for them. They're saying it's transformational, but what they're comparing it to is literally nothing. And so, of course, they're thinking, like, this is enough. I think it's also disconnected to say that they're doing enough for people in this space when they're not the people in this space. They make these decisions, but these decisions don't impact them. They've got enough money. They're all good. And so I think it's low-key institutional gaslighting, telling people, no, we're doing enough and this is enough, and when really they're not even impacted by these changes. They don't have to worry. They're all good. They're comfortable, you know what I mean? And so I would hope that they're looking to, introduce livable income for everybody, because it's not just the welfare space that actually is having problems. We have problems across our whole system, in our education system, in our health system, in our criminal justice system. Our environment is... we have so many issues with our environment, and so it's like, be the transformational government that you're saying you want to be, and be brave about being transformational. We have to do, because actually the human cost of not doing anything now is way higher, will be way higher if they don't do anything.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.